The rest of you make it on in. How you doing? Amen. A couple more made it in. Good, 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 good. Wonderful. I'm picking at you and having fun, all right? Hey, I want to thank you for being so kind and attentive and supportive as we've tried to preach these couple times. The preacher's allowed us to come over. You don't know me. I know that. And I'm not an easy guy to have to listen to, but I do appreciate you giving us this opportunity and listening while we have been here these few days. I would appreciate it if you'd remember the Harris family. I've been in evangelism for about 5 years. I've preached and pastored for a lot more years than that, but only about 4 or 5 years in actual evangelism. And this last year has been a very difficult year with my wife having heart transplant. And so she's finally out, and she's slowly making progress toward actually being able to walk and eat and do things that, you know, we take for granted. But anyway, so this year, things are about to start piping up again and getting going again. Would it cover your prayers? I want to see revival. I really do. I believe, and that's going to be our topic a little bit tonight, I believe that we still can have revival, and I want to see God send revival to his church. Amen? And revival is not something that is contingent upon God. Did you know that? It is contingent upon us being in a place to allow him to do what he wants to do. And so, anyway, so just pray for us if you would, but I do appreciate your pastor, and I'm praying that God, I mean that with all my heart, pastors need an extra little jolt, a little extra shot in these day and times. It's difficult days that men of God are serving. And so make sure you pray, pray with all of your might for your pastor. And as he comes back, really get in behind him and support him. I know you already do, but I'm just meaning a little extra, you know what I mean? Give him a little extra dose of attaboys and encourage him along the way. He'll never say he wants it, but it doesn't hurt to be able to say it. Amen? And so anyway, I just thank the Lord for your church and your pastor. I want you to take your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 45 with me. Genesis 45. Would you do that? Genesis 45. And I try not to be a long time tonight. And I say that, I'm going to try not to be. And my boys say, Dad, you say that all the time, and your trying never works. I say, well, I attempted at least, amen. Genesis 45, do you find your place? Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? Would you do that, please? The Bible says in verse number 16, watch this carefully and follow along with me, will you? And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beast, and go, get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph was sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Like I said, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit on this subject of revival tonight. Lord, touch our hearts. Help us tonight. We're needy people. Sometimes we don't like to bear out to you that we are needy. Sometimes we try to come astir. We try to come and act as though we've got it all together, when you know really deep down inside there's things just out of place. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be transparent with you tonight. And, Lord, give you full control of the reins of our life again. I pray for this church here. I pray for other churches across our country, friends, who are standing behind a pulpit tonight and preaching the Word of God, who are as hungry as this preacher is to see wholesale revival once again sweeping through our churches. And I believe it can happen, and I pray you'd help us. Pray tonight, as has been mentioned already, Lord, for those souls that need you as their Savior, precious little ones here tonight. Maybe there's an adult, I don't know, who needs Jesus. I pray, God, you'd touch and help them to see their need. And then, Lord, I want to just pray for preacher. Bless him, Brother Nichols. Lord, strengthen him. And I pray, God, as he comes back, there'll be a new fire in his eyes and in his heart. And we'll sure thank you and love you for what you do in his life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. I want to say this, that revival is a necessity. Now, there are some things I'm going to repeat because I am looking for you to let me know you're with me tonight. And the way you let me know is by saying, amen, that's a biblical word. Another word that's biblical was in your songbook we just sang, hallelujah. Another biblical set of words is praise the Lord. And those are words that are given to us to be able to express ourselves of agreement to the Word of God. So I want to say again, revival is a necessity today. You say, how do you know that? Well, just real quickly, look around you. How many people do you know that used to be here that aren't here today are dragging around somewhere? They can go to Walmart and they can go to everywhere else, but they can't seem to make it back to the house of God. Now, this is not a message about them, but the point I'm making is we need revival. We not only need revival in those who are not here, we need revival in those who are here. Amen. And we need our heart to be revived again. The old songwriter out of the book of Psalms said, revive thy people that they may rejoice in thee. We need real revival again. As I preach in churches, one of the things that I'm noticing, now don't get mad at me, I'm just going to be straight with you, all right? That's just kind of the way I am, all right? But watch this. What we have today is a lot of people, if you're sitting like this, I'm not preaching against you, all right? But have their arms kind of crossed and are just kind of there, and they look at you, and it's almost bless me if you can. And it ought not be that kind of an attitude that we come to church. It ought to be, Lord, I'm here, and I'm going to be blessed because I know you're here, and I want to see what you're going to do in my heart today. And while you're doing it in my heart, I believe it'll overflow to Mr. Saucer, and Mr. Saucer will get some too. Amen. The old Indian came to church, and here's what we need. I'm talking about revival now. The old Indian come to church, and he got born again. And after he got born again, it was a protracted meeting back in the days where the meetings would just go. Protracted meaning they didn't set a date to end it. It just went until God was through with them. Today we have a menu set up, and God help us if we can just get long enough to get from Sunday to Wednesday. And surely by Wednesday we'll have a wholesale revival. God will have moved in and we'll be able to go on and finish our week out without having to come to church again. Somebody help me here. But it was the old protracted meeting, and he got saved and born again. And every time an invitation was given, he'd come. And he'd bow before the Lord, and here's what he'd say. Indian, give up bridle to God. And he'd go back, and his heart still was not settled on what he really wanted to experience in his life. The next night he'd come, the preaching would take place. He'd come forward, and that particular night, at Sawdust Trail, he brought his old horse down the aisle, and he brought it right up to the altar and said, Indian, give horse to God. And he left his horse there and went home. But he still didn't feel that satisfaction in his heart, deep that longing deep in his soul. The next night he came back and the preacher preached about surrender to God. And that Indian walked the aisle and Indian got on his knees and said, Indian, give Indian to God. And he left with peace in his heart. He left with joy in his heart. He left with the peace of God again in his heart. He left with that longing, that satisfaction that he was needing in his heart and his soul. And that's what we need in our heart again. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Holy, I give myself to Thee. I want You to just pour it on. Amen. Another preacher is Sage Spurgeon, who said a woman had come to church and listened to him preach on his way out. And I think it was Spurgeon. It might have been Tory, but anyway, I think it was Spurgeon. But on the way out, the lady stopped by and said, "Preacher, you didn't give me nothing today." Then he looked at her and said, "Well, you didn't bring nothing to get it in." Amen. And we need to come with an attitude to get something from God, to bring something to get it in. Amen. God, fill us. We need revival. Now, here's why it's a necessity. Get a hold of this. Because of captivity. We, as Christians, suffer much under the bonds of satanic oppression today and the worldly domination in our lives today. We're being captive. We're being held captive by the world. We're being held captive by satanic means. I'm telling you, this world today is being overrun by Satan in many different ways in which they're saying, for instance, on TV, if you watch TV, I'll just go ahead and throw one out there. They call it the Good Witch. There's no such thing as a good witch. Somebody help me. I'm saying Satan is slipping into the lives of Christians and holding them bondage, and we're being held captive today. I'm saying we need to be set free. We need revival today in our hearts and our lives. Captivity, but not only captivity, let me say this, depravity. Here's what Jesus said one day, and he was not depraved, but just follow me with this. He said, "Virtue is gone from me." He said, "Who touched me? For I perceive that virtue is gone." And ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want us to get a hold of, brother, is this. We are so much in the world today, and we rub shoulders with the world so much today, that virtue is leaving us. But the problem is we are not going back and getting that virtue replenished again. And so we are depleted, and we're becoming more and more depraved in the church house. Revival's not for the outside. Revival's for the inside, for the church. Amen. It's a necessity because of captivity. It's a necessity because of depravity. And then I want to say this, and it's a necessity because of activity. Churches today, one of the things I hear preachers saying over and over in different forms is this. In fact, a pastor recently said, "I had a man who did thus and thus and thus. He died, but he never got anybody to replace him and to help him to take some of those spots where he once filled, and now they're empty, they're void, and I have to take them." And may I say, there's a lack of activity in God's people in the house of God, and God, help us to be revived again, to see that there is a need to be active at the house of God. Amen. So we need revival. It is a necessity. I want you to listen to this statement. Revival is not a mere option that can be taken off of the buffet of our lives. It is not something that you and I can come through the doors of this church and say, "You know, I'll take it or leave it." And that's what our churches have become. Brother, it's become today where the preacher gets up and preaches, and we come and think it's a smorgasbord as the preacher preaches. We get to pick what we like that he says and not take what we don't like. May I say, this is not picking the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and picking which ones you like and don't like. It's all or nothing. See, he said that we're to preach the whole counsel of God. That's what the Bible says. And when the preacher is preaching, we don't come in and just pick and choose. And revival is not something that we come in and say, "Well, today I might have it. Tomorrow I really don't want it." And just kind of pick and choose. No, it is not an option that we just come and decide whether we want revival or not. See, revival comes from God. Revival is not God doing something. It's us letting God work through us. It's taking the will of man and submitting that will to God and allowing God to do something in our life that only He can do. Amen. Not an option, but watch this. Are you listening? Revival isn't only for we who have been saved by grace divine and have been made partakers of His divine nature and partners in the ministry of reconciliation. Here we are. What are you saying, preacher, with all of that? I'm saying we've been saved by grace divine. We did not deserve to be saved. God saved us out of His grace and His mercy in our life. Mercy withholding due judgment upon our life. Grace giving us things that we do not even deserve to have. Grace divine. Here we are. And therefore, then He said, I want you to be on My team. I want you to partner with Me. I want you to be partners in the ministry of reconciliation. Did you grab a hold of that? Do you know that, brother, when you're preaching your Sunday school class, you are partners with God Almighty in the ministry of reconciliation? It's not just about making you smarter. It's about reconciling souls to God. It's about reconciling His sons back to Him. We are... Boy, I guess I'm the only one really going to get a hold of that one tonight. We are partners with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's one thing to be able to go to a prominent businessman in this particular town and say, you know, I would like to partner up with you and do thus and thus. Oh my, that may be a great thing to say. Hey, I'm partners with so-and-so in town and everybody know who you are. But can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? We are partners with the Lord Jesus Christ in the greatest ministry, in the greatest responsibility the world has ever known. And we are partners with God. Woo! Man, that excites my heart and my soul. We are partners with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good, preacher. Good for you. Well, it ought to be good for you. And if it's not, you need revival. Amen. It's an only for we who have been saved. We need revival. Now, I want us to look at our text tonight. As we have taken a little thought for a moment and just kind of saw our need for revival. And I want you to see that revival is real. Right here in our text. Now, I don't know who we have here. I'm a King James Bible believer. I believe this church is. I read it on its statement of faith on your thingamajigger. I'm not good with the computer. What's the thing called? What is it? Say it again. Yeah, that thing. You know, yeah, website. That sounds impressive to me. But I read it on there that y'all are King James Bible believers. I am too. But I'm not a King James Bible believer where I pick and choose what I want and what I don't want. I believe that God's Word is true from beginning to end. And see, there's a group of people who seem to get this idea that preaching today ought to be just from the New Testament. But the problem with that is, in the New Testament, you have these words, all Scripture. Now, the last time I searched out the word all meant all. And that's all that all meant. So all must mean all. And it said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then it gives a list of things that it's profitable for. Now, here's the point that I'm going to make. If all Scripture is profitable, then that would have to mean that the Old Testament is just as profitable as the New Testament is. And here's the idea that we find. In the New Testament, you will find principles by which the church, God's people, live their lives by. Principles. But just a minute ago, I was back there in the foyer. This is a great opportunity for that. The brother asked me. I was talking to him, and I said, how long has Pastor Nichols been here? He said, well, what does it say? I said, I don't know. I was just looking at the pictures. Now, here's the point I'm going to make. There are principles in God's Word that we find in the New Testament. But God realizes that there are people like me who are dodo birds. I'll back up and say that again. People like me who are dodo birds. What do you mean by that? You take a book that thick, and hand it to my wife, And now she's a little slower than she used to be. But my wife could read a book. I mean a big old book. She could read it in a day. She'd be done with that thing and she could tell you everything that book was about. And I'd look at her and I'd say, you smart aleck. I can't even read a book that thick and tell you what it was about. Did you see how thick that is? There's no space in there. In other words, not even a page and tell you what it's about. But you hand me a book with some pictures, and honey, business takes place. I can tell you what that book's about with pictures, amen? And I told him, I said, I'm looking at the pictures. Can I tell you something? God Almighty, how wonderful it is that He gives the principles of the Word of God in the New Testament, but He gives great pictures in the Old Testament to illustrate those principles in the New Testament. And we see a church that is on fire in the New Testament. We see a church that is experiencing revival. Can that happen? Well, there's a wonderful picture right here in Genesis 45. For us to see, revival can happen. I want you to stay with me. We're going to work our way through this passage. Is that all right tonight? You okay? So we're just going to kind of preach the book. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is that all right? Okay. So as I look at Genesis 45, there's two groups of people that we see in this passage. First of all, you see active sons. Did you hear what I said? Active sons. That's going to be important for us in a moment. We'll draw a parallel to that, from that to us. But then you also see an aggravated saint in Genesis 45. We have a lot of church people who are sitting on the pews today who are aggravated. Aggravated. Absolutely aggravated. Why? You say, I'm going to tell you in just a moment. A lot of the reasons that we see in this picture that God paints us for revival in Genesis 45, you're going to see the direct connection from it in Old Testament to us today. Active sons, aggravated saint. Do you see it there? Say, who are they? The active sons are the sons of Jacob. They are active. They have gone to Egypt, to the world. Ooh, you're going to get me excited. I'm supposed to be preaching about revival. They've gone to the world, and they're in the world. They are being sent back to the Father's house, but they have a mission. They're to go from there to the Father's house. We'll talk about that in a minute, all right? So you have active sons who are actively involved in the work of Pharaoh, who would picture God in this particular chapter. So you have these active sons, and they are here. Here's the next part of it. You have two groups of people, and you have two different destinations or difficulties that you see. One, you find the active sons who have to make a journey. Come on, stay with the message, Jerry. Don't get ahead of yourself, because I'm ready to preach this evening. Can you tell I'm ready to preach this evening? Number two, you have an aggravated saint. And here's his problem. Are you listening to me? His joy's gone. Woo! Both of them need revival. You have active sons who are on a journey. You have an aggravated saint who has lost his joy. Now, question. Can you see a connection between these two groups of people and their situations with us today? Well, just in case you can't, let me help you. Are not we sons of the living God? The Bible says, but as many as received him, oh man. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know what he said to us as sons? He said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Get busy! You know what he said? Boys, sons, get busy. You're to be active. You've got a journey to make. You're starting here and you're not going to finish till you get to the Father's house. There's a connection there. There's a connection. Are you all right tonight? Are you connecting with me? Are you with me? Active sons. That's exactly what we are. We're on a journey. But then you see these aggravated saints. And I have to raise my hand and say I've been there. In fact, some of you may be there tonight. It's not a bad thing to raise your hand and say, you know what? I'm a little aggravated about some things. Maybe it's because sins come in. Maybe it's because Satan has made havoc of something in your life or your family. Or maybe it's because you just don't understand some of the things that are transpiring and you're aggravated and it's taken some of your joy away. And you say, now, is that real, preacher? Well, you can't always judge a book by its cover. But I can tell you this from preaching long enough. I can look out there and look at people and see there's a lot of people who don't have their joy anymore. When you talk about things of God that ought to bring a smile to their face, they sit there and do this. Well, are you happy today? Yeah. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. Are you sure you're happy? Yeah. Just don't disrupt my thought process. I'm happy. Here's a tragedy. Watch this now. You remember the old adage, misery loves company. A lot of people in church that are miserable and just aren't afraid to tell people about their miseries. And you know what that does? It hurts the work of God. Look around. Some of the people you don't see here have been talked to by some people who have lost their joy. And they're no longer here because Mr. Lost His Joy ran his yakker. Amen. I'm preaching truth tonight. I'm right on tonight. We need revival. So you have these active sons, you have this aggravated saint, you have a journey, and you have the missing of joy. I want to focus just a minute on those active sons, and then we're going to focus on that aggravated saint. And by the time we're through, I hope tonight God will help you in your heart to see something that will squeeze your heart a little bit, and you'll say, you know what? Yes, there it is. That's exactly what I need in my heart and my life. I don't know how many times I've preached this message across this country, and when I preach this message, I've had people come up and say, preacher, that's it. That's exactly what I've been missing. I've lost my joy. I've lost the spring in my step on the journey. And thanks be to God, tonight He's given it back. And men, to hear the stories of God working through their lives again, oh, it thrills my heart and my soul. This church needs that. Amen. That's not an indictment. That is a reality, ladies and gentlemen. A reality. Let's look at this, these active saints. And let's think for a minute about this journey. See, the Bible says here, look what it says back in your Bible again. I want you to sit in your Bible, all right? Verse number 24. Let me get my eyeballs back out here again so I can see, all right? This is a big printed Bible, but I still can't see it this close. All right, verse 24, look what it says. So he sent his brethren away. All right, here's the journey. You with me? You all right? He sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, watch this, see that ye fall not out by the way. What are you saying? We need a revival. Why do we need a revival? Because there's a lot of Christians today who are falling out along the way. Mr. So-and-so sat here. Mrs. So-and-so may be here. A family sat here. A different family sat there. A different family sat there. Where are they today? They've fallen out by the way. Some of them were here Sunday morning, this very morning. They're not here tonight. You're being critical, preacher. No. I'm saying they need revival in their heart and their soul. How do you know that? Because they ought to desire to be in the house of God. How do you know that? Hebrews chapter number 10, what does it say? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. No, I didn't read that right. I didn't say that right. Let's see. Let me start over. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. Satan, you're not going to do that. You're not going to steal it. No way. Jose, because I got the book right here. It will tell on you. Hebrews chapter number, you ever have that time when your mind just goes, whip? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's it. And what's it say? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why do we need revival? Because we got a journey to make. Well, how do we make that journey? By staying in the house of God as part of that. Amen. Amen. Now, I know you're here tonight, so what you need to do is just go ahead and say amen. You're right, preacher. We're here. They ought to be. We need revival in our church. Amen. Amen. But so much the more. What does that mean? That means we ought to be in church more, not less, as we approach Jesus coming back. Wouldn't it be ashamed? Wouldn't it be ashamed if tonight was the night that Jesus came and people that ought to be in his house are watching the Dallas Cowboys get beat by the Arizona Cardinals? Y'all have no idea what that means. That's football. Still no idea what that means, huh? Anybody watch football? Anybody watch baseball? Anybody watch any kind of sports? Well, hallelujah, glory to God, a spiritual church here. Anybody watch TV at all? Well, hallelujah. You're not going to raise your hand on that one, are you? No. He'll go preaching on it. But they're home on their couch watching something. They're out in a steakhouse eating when they ought to be in the house of God. They need revival. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Wouldn't it be a shame for Jesus to come and find them not in their place? But I can say this, ladies and gentlemen. We can be in our place. Are you looking at me? We can be in our place and not really be in our place. I've had that blank stare while a preacher's preaching and have no idea what he's talking about as he's right in front of me. You know why? Because my mind was on what I was going to be doing tomorrow. Are you catching a hold of anything I'm trying to say? And then we find ourselves slipping and we fall out along the way. Now, why would we fall out? Here's why. Because there's a lot of hardships in the Christian work. What hardships? First of all, here was a hardship. I got to hurry. Y'all keep bringing up stuff and I'll never get done tonight. Amen? But here's the hardships that we're looking at. Number one, this road that you're about to travel is going to be mighty lonely. I don't know about you, but there's been times along the Christian walk that it has sure been lonely along the road of life. It seems as though I'm the only one going. It seems as though it's mighty difficult. And old Dr. Sammy Allen used to say, as he'd be preaching, he'd say, though the road for the Christian life is rough and it's rugged, he said, I've never seen a blood-washed saint on his way back. They're still a trodden on. Hallelujah to God. But I'm saying that road is rough. It's long. It's lonely. It's loaded with all sorts of obstacles along the way. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall out along the way. We must have constant revival in our life. Because this road is full of hardships. It's lonely, and it's loaded with obstacles. Never been a day when so many Christians are giving themselves away to other means to find peace in their heart than Jesus Christ. Oh, COVID's so bad. But Jesus is still God. Yeah, but it's so scary. But he's still the King of Kings and he's still the Lord of Lords. Well, but COVID might get you. You might walk out in front of a moving car and get run over too. You might go down on an airplane too. Yes, COVID's bad, but God's still God. He's still in charge. Can I just tell you something? Would you get a hold of this? You're not going to get to the Father's house till it's time for you to get to the Father's house. I like that one all by myself. Hallelujah to God. Hey, man! I'm not going sooner than when God wants me to go. So just keep trucking on for him. The road is hard. It's long. It's lonely. And it's loaded with obstacles. There's hardships. So we've got to have revival to be able to make it. What'd y'all do? There they are. I thought y'all did something with my glasses. Thought if you took my glasses away from me, I'd stop preaching, huh? I'm teasing with you. Come on, you can laugh and have a little fun, can't you? Amen. You know, the house of God's the place where we ought to be able to have fun. Amen. If you can't have fun down at the house of God, man, you better get right with God. Amen. It's the best place in the world to have fun with each other. Amen. Well, I tell you, I walk around with my feelings on my shoulder. You better not do that in the Baptist church. Well, the Baptist church, they'll be sure to knock them off for you. Amen. Someone said we're like a bunch of octopuses. We got all those little arms out there everywhere just waiting for somebody to step on one. I'm going to tell you, come in the Baptist church that way, somebody's going to cut one off. Someone's going to step on one. You can just count on it. Amen. So you just better go ahead and be in love with Jesus and have fun at the house of God. Amen. Amen. I'm having a good time tonight. Maybe the last time I ever get to come here, but I'm having a good time. Amen. There's hardships. But then I want you to see this real quickly. We're talking about this journey, but there's help. Now I want you to look at verse 21, verse 26, and verse 25 with me. And we'll rush through this. There's help for the journey. See, there's hardships that are going to cause us to fall out along the way. But God said, I don't want you to fall out along the way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you those hardships. I'm going to give you help in your life. Help that will help you to make that journey. What did he give him? I like this. Look at verse number 21. Look what it says. He said, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them what? Provision for the way. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I got provisions to make it. I'll never go hungry. Hallelujah. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, my needs are pretty big. I got news for you. Yeah, God will help you, and it will not deplete heaven's bank one iota. It won't hurt God a bit to load you up. I'm liking it. Thank you, Lord. This is helping me. Hey, man, he gave them a meal for the way. Then number two, he gave them a message. Look at verse number 26. And he told him, told him, these are the boys speaking. Verse 26, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Verse 27, and they told him all the words of who? Of who? Come on, it's Baptist church, you can talk in it. Of Joseph. Who's Joseph? He's the son that was dead, but now is alive. Oh, glory to God. He lives. He lives. We got a message all the way from heaven. He lives. He's not sick. He's not dead. He doesn't even take vitamins. Whoa! He's alive forevermore. And that's the message I have to give to this world. Hey, your Buddha doesn't exist. Hey, Muhammad, he's dead. Hey, the Pope dies, and another one dies, and another one dies. But my Savior ever liveth to make intercession for me. Hallelujah to God. I got a message for you tonight. He's alive. Amen. That'll help you make the journey, friend. Amen. This guy on the front, he's going to get tired of me before I'm done. Amen. It's a bad place to be when I'm around. Amen. But then I want you to watch this. He gave them a mark. How are we going to make that journey? Look at verse number 25, what he said. And they went up out of Egypt, and they came into the land of Canaan unto who? Jacob who? You know where they started out when they left Egypt? Somebody help me. They were going to Jacob's house. In essence, they were going to the father's house. You know where you and I've been heading?
We've been heading to the Father's house. One day we're going to get to the Father's house. One day he said, I'd not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others sorrow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. I'm saying hallelujah. We're heading out of here with greater power than Cape Canaveral has ever seen. We're heading out of here. We're not just going a few miles up there in the space, if you will. We're going clear through space. We're going to the Father's house. That's where we're going. And you know what? There's never been one person that's been saved by the grace of God that missed the Father's house. I just enjoyed it all by myself. Amen. I heard you say amen. I just kind of get wrapped up in that a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the Father's house we're going to. So, we have a group of active sons who are on a journey. And on this journey, he says, don't fall out along the way. You know what's going to happen to you? If you don't catch a hold of what I'm trying to preach to you tonight, and revival doesn't sweep our soul, you're going to be one of those who fall out along the way. If I don't catch a hold of what I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to be one of those who are going to fall out along the way. How many of you want to fall out along the way? How many of you want to make it all the way to the Father's house? Amen. Let's just keep on keeping on. Amen. Now, I'm not implying that we're saved. You understand that? By our works, that's how. But what I'm saying is there, we want to be able to make it all the way with success before our Lord. Make that mark. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, real quickly, let me help you with that aggravated saint just a moment. Here Jacob is, and when they come back, and watch this, those boys left, no doubt with a handful of donkeys. That would be Baptist Christians. I'm going to get a hold of that in a minute. Hard-headed and stubborn. I are one, so I can say that. They headed out with their donkeys. They went down to Egypt. Now, I just want you to, for a moment, picture Jacob. I don't have a chair here. But Jacob's sitting on the front porch of his house, of his tent. He's sitting there, and the boy's been gone for a while. He's thinking, surely by now, soon we ought to be able to see him start coming. They've been down there to Egypt. We need food back here. They've gone to do that. Should be any time we'll see the boys coming back. So he's sitting there on the front porch and he's watching, because that's what Jewish fathers did in that day and time. He's looking out across the sand and he's thinking, man, what a rough life I've had. This is just terrible. You know, I've lost one son. He's dead. No, Rachel died on me, giving birth to Benjamin. And I lost that nurse that I was dear to me, and although it's not in the plan of God, I was married to and we had some of our children with. I lost that nurse. Now they've taken Benjamin. And Simeon they left down there in Egypt. Man, this whole world just against me. Say, how do you know that? Look at chapter 42 real quick. Look at chapter 42. I'll tell you how I know that. Look at chapter 42. You there? Look at chapter 42 and verse number 36. Are you there? Look at it with me. And Jacob their father said unto them, me ye have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are... Look right up here. Would you? We're not the first ones who sat on a church pew and said, everybody's against me. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Poor little me. That's what he said right there. All these things are against me. And there he sits. Now you tell me what you would have done if you remembered sending your boys away with a few donkeys and a son that they got kind of caught in the middle and making sure that he's going to be safe. Hello? And you look on the horizon And now you see this big entourage of wagons. And she asses. And male asses. The men donkeys and the women donkeys and the wagons and this big huge entourage. It had to be. And here they come up over the hill. How would you respond? I would like to think that at least there'd have been a little bit of peace in my heart that said, they made it back. But not Jacob. He's still sitting here bereaved. You're not getting hold of it, are you? He's sitting there looking at all of that crowd coming. And he's still down in the dumps. Read your Bible. And as they come and they enter into his presence and they get down off of those wagons that are just piled up with stuff. And as they get down and they tell Jacob, said, Jacob, Joseph is yet alive. Huh, yeah, right. Now here's what's tragic. I just hope you're getting this tonight. Here's what's tragic, because this is what a lot of people in the church house are doing today. And they told him all the words of Joseph, and he believed them not.
Right.
Did you hear that?
Right.
Well, what's that a picture of? We are telling all the words of Jesus today,
right,
and they believe them not. That's what your book says. Is that what your book says? That's what he says. And Jacob's still sitting there with his arms crossed in a negative spirit and a kick of gender. And he's just, I'm not going to be happy. I don't care what you do. Can I borrow your Bible a second? Until finally, somebody came along. Watch this. And they peeled back the cover of the wagon. And said, I want to show you all that God has done for us and all that God wants to do for us. You're not getting it. Oh, how many times I've sat there just like Jacob in the church house and the man of God just pulled back the cover of a wagon and said, let me show you what God's done. And buddy, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, when they pulled back the cover, I want you to look what your Bible says. The Bible says, and the spirit of Jacob revived. And he said, it's enough. It's enough. He becomes a Baptist with some joy in his heart again. He stands to his feet and he says, it's enough. Oh my goodness. Wow, that's amazing. It's enough. But if you're not careful, you miss what is the most important part of the revival in Jacob's life. Look at your Bible real quick and I'm done. I won't even preach the rest of the message. Watch this. Look at your Bible, please. Those last couple verses there. Look what it says one more time. The Bible says in verse number, I don't know where my glasses are again. There they are. Hang on. I'm going to tell you. You there? Watch it now. In verse number 27 and verse number 28. Look what it says. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and he believed it not. And then they pulled back the covers, something to the effect of the wagons. And he saw them, and the Bible says, and the what? At the last of that verse, and the spirit of, or Jacob's spirit revived. Watch this. And the next verse, if you're not careful, you're going to miss what will cause revival in your heart and your life. Look right here. The first word is not Jacob said it's enough. The first word is Israel said. Now wait a minute. We've been talking about Jacob all this time. Jacob's bereaved. Jacob's upset. Jacob is in a foul spirit. But when he saw what God had done for him, Jacob's spirit revived, and Israel said, it's enough.
You know what God's trying to do? Oh, please get a hold of this. There is too much of me. There's too much of you being seen in church today. And what God wants is us to die, us to get out of the way, and Israel to be revived again. What are you talking about, preacher? Do you remember when Jacob was back there and he fought with that one angel, and the angel said, "Let me go, for the night or for the day breaketh." And he said, "I'll not let you go." Are you listening? He said, "I'll not let you go till you bless me." And he said, "What is thy name?" He said, "My name is Jacob." He said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, which is a deceiver, which is one who is down in the dumps all the time. But your name shall be called Israel." That's being ruled by God in your life. And if you and I want to have revival, the Spirit of God has to rule in our life again. It's the only way real revival will ever come to your life and mine. As long as we're trying to sing in our own ability, as long as we're trying to play our instruments in our own ability, as long as we're trying to preach in our own ability, no revival is going to come. But the moment it is no longer I that liveth, but that Christ liveth in me, then revival comes again. That's it. The difference between the church of the New Testament and the church of today is that was a church that was spirit charged. We are a church that's selfish charged. Well, what's in it for me? When are we going to get out? Well, I don't like it. The preacher hurt my feelings. Well, I don't like this, or I don't like... We're so selfish charged. We've got to get back to where it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Are you in a hold of it? Can I ask you a question? Where's your joy tonight? I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you look like you've lost it. Can I ask you, where's your joy? Has there ever been a time that you've had more joy in your heart than you do tonight? Then you need revival. I need revival. That's just where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. Is there ever a time that, can you hand me a song book right there? That you sang one of these songs and it meant more to you than it did tonight? Is there ever a time when you saw some of those words with that exclamation point, "Hallelujah!" that you shouted out, "Hallelujah." But now there's no more hallelujah. Has there ever been a time when you talked about the blood that washed away all of our sin? And maybe that was a tear that trickled down your eye. And you said, "Oh my, that's what Jesus did for me." That's called the Spirit working in your heart. What's happened to that? Ever been a time a man got up, and he took the Word of God, and he preached the Word of God, and as he was preaching, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's just what I needed. Oh, that's so satisfying. Oh, that's so good." Now, well, I've heard that before. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? We need revival. We need joy back. And we've got a journey to finish. There's a lot of people that you could impact by getting your joy back. Well, preacher, now watch this. And I'm done. Watch this. I've had a lot of people say this to me. Well, preacher, that's just you. You're an emotional type of guy. Well, I got a problem with that. Are you going to tell me the same Spirit of God that moved in you, that moved in me, that raised Jesus from the grave, lives inside of you, and he doesn't create any kind of excitement about Jesus in your heart? When the whole purpose of him coming was to testify of me, and it does nothing in your heart, you don't have the same Spirit that I got in me, man. Furthermore, if you really can bottle him up, then you are something. Because you're withholding God from using his instrument the way he wants to use it. Amen. Amen. God, give us Holy Ghost revival. There's a lot more to say. This message usually takes a little longer when I preach it in a revival meeting. You say, man, it's been long enough as it is. Well, I preach truth to you tonight. I've tried to help you. I've tried to help this church as I've tried to help a lot of churches, and I'm going to continue to do so. Oh, God, give us revival. I was preaching down in the town of, it's in Georgia, right out on the, see, it's not Savannah, Brunswick, Georgia, in a revival meeting. Church ran about 300 or 400. Just preached there back in October. 300 or 400 there that night. I preached this very same message. When I got done, over 3/4 of that church was on their knees before God. And I watched that church, and I've had that pastor call me and say, God is moving in our church. I preached that message the same way I preached it here to this little crowd. It doesn't make a difference the size of the group, because the size of our God is unchangeable. And he wants to do the very same thing right here at Victory Baptist Church, Victory Independent Baptist Church. Oh, God, help us. Lord, I did my best to charge your people, encourage your people this evening. My heart is yearning personally to have a revival. I need it. And I've seen you here in recent days recharge my life. Lord, there's been, I'm just going to be honest, there's been some depressive times through this bout with my wife. And I've not been what I ought to be. But I'm sure glad you haven't changed. And Lord, you stepped out and you were interested in me and you helped me to get back where I ought to be. I think there's some people here tonight that Lord probably ought to find their place around an altar and get that joy back. So when their preacher gets here, they're ready with their preacher to charge this town with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And Lord, there's a journey this church got to make. It's not over yet. One day it will be. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day I see my Savior. Until then, Lord, we'll just keep on keeping on. Help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, we'll stand our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We don't have music, I don't guess. But we do have altars. Maybe tonight be some folk would like to get around an altar and pray. Well, I just don't do that sort of thing. Altar's your friend, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good place to come to. It's a place to die on. I pray tonight be some folk find their way around and ask God for the joy back. Ask God to help them along the journey. In the quietness of the moment, God's touched your heart. Why don't you do business with God? Why don't you bring those little ones? Let them know what the altar's about. Oh my, what a benefit. The altar.